Now on Radio 4, Comic Fringes, and another short story from this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Recorded earlier today at the Pleasance Cabaret Bar, writer and comedian Ian McPherson performs his own story, Prune Surprise.
I was opening that night at the Edinburgh Festival, my new one-man show. The tension at my flat was almost unbearable. "Sorry," I said. "Could you repeat that?" Suzette uncurled herself slightly on the sofa. "The three aunts," she purred, "have got to go. You must cut them. They are not believable." "No, no," I hissed. "You're not believable. The show goes up in 4 hours, woman. And besides," I prodded my finger at her cigarette smoke, "they actually exist. In fact, I almost wish they were here now so I could prove the point." The doorbell rang. "Ah, that will be them now." I laughed nervously. Edinburgh at festival time was once described as the Gomorrah of the North. Gomorrah sued and won. Inference, it was no place for three genteel ladies approaching the century mark. Besides, I couldn't possibly let them anywhere near my show. It mentioned condoms, uncritically, and used the word bloody twice. But there's no way it could be them. Suzette was being, how you say, humorous. Knowing my aunts, they were probably on their knees in some dimly lit Dublin church, weeping and gnashing their gums, atoning the God-fearing little sweeties for a blameless life. I opened the door. The postman. Well, that was a relief. Suzette, or la directrice, as she calls herself, is not a woman to whip out in front of the sainted aunts. I don't think I'm giving too much away to say that she slept with every member of the cast. I was about to broach the delicate subject of a rematch when the doorbell rang again.
"Ah, Halloween! Surprise, surprise! Guess who?"
That, by the way, was all three of them. I rushed back into the living room. "Out, Suzette, now. I'll explain later." "Comment?" "My maiden aunts are here. I can't possibly introduce them to a woman like you. You've slept with every member of the cast."
"But yeah, it's a one-man show."
"I was referring to last year's production of Les Miserables in Croydon." By the time I'd steered Suzette out of the living room, my aunts had managed to shuffle more than halfway along the hall.
"There you are, Ian, playing hide and seek with your old aunties. And who's the lovely lady?"
"My cleaning lady, Suzette. She's French, so I'm afraid small talk is quite out of the question. Just wave." Suzette, I'm afraid, insisted on being unnecessarily Gallic at this point.
"Cleaning lady? Moi?"
"Don't knock it," I said. "It's the third oldest profession." "Arrivederci."
"One moment," she said. "I must not forget ma ouvert."
"Ouvert?"
"My ouvert with which I ouvert the carpet in my capacity as your cleaning lady."
The woman had obviously flipped. I gave her the hoover, and soon all that remained of her was a cloud of cigarette smoke, several items of French underwear, and the odd beret. 5 minutes later, I was busily organising my aunts. "Now listen, ladies," I said. "You're here for an overnight stay. That much is clear. You came over on a tacky airline."
"Three for the price of one, Ian."
"Bring your own goggles." "Kindly don't interrupt. Now, the fact of the matter, ladies, is that your innocence abroad, you need looking after. So, have you ever been to Edinburgh before?"
"God, yes, Ian. 1936.
Excellent, I said. It hasn't changed a bit. I was lying, of course, but I had to keep them away from the decadence of the festival and, more importantly, my show. Come, I said with old world courtesy, let me show you an educational time.
Ah, we were going to see the sightseeing on an open neck bus.
Too dangerous, ladies. Low bridges and the like. Your hats would never survive it. Let's go. I knew exactly what I had in mind. Old Edinburgh, the older, the better. And what could be older than the ancient, venerable Church of the Holy Rood? It had the benefit of being local, so I hurried them out the door, down the wind, past the skip, with my Hoover resting on top. Under the blissed be God for all his gifties sign. My aunts were transfixed. Such history. Such graves.
It's beautiful, Ian. Wouldn't it be lovely to be dead, though? So romantic. We should be dead years ago. I think we left it too late, Ian. It'll probably never happen now.
They were wittering on like this, as women of a certain age are wont to do, when a man of God strode towards us, gaunt, piercing stare, shock of white eyebrows.
We were just saying, wouldn't it be lovely to be dead?
Ah, they'd obviously picked his speciality subject. His face softened, and within minutes he was offering them a conducted tour of the dungeons. This suited my plans admirably. I needed time alone. Opening night was imminent, and I was still a bit rusty on the script front. I decided on a quick run through there and then, discreetly, of course. I trod on sanctified ground.
Cooey!
Cooey? Odd. That wasn't in the show.
We're back, Ian!
Ah, I awoke as from a reverie. The explanation was simple. They were back.
He says this is venue 432, Ian.
Venue 432? Oh, my God! The church was part of the festival. Is nothing sacred anymore? I quickly changed the subject to the distinguished sons of Edinburgh interred beneath our feet. City worthies, elders, burghers.
Speaking of which, Ian, I could eat a horse. So could I, Ian. Me too. Is there a racetrack near?
They giggled uproariously, but I stilled them with a look. But they had a point. Food. Under normal circumstances, I would have made them my celebrated brown rice risotto with prune surprise. But there was no time for cordon bleu, so we went to the local chip shop. Not my style, but quick. Or at least it would have been if the staff had used subtitles.
Salt and sauce!
Pardon?
Salt and sauce!
I'm terribly sorry, I can't...
Easy on the salt, but lashings of sauce, thanks. We're on Hollyer's. And pudding. Pudding, pudding, we want pudding, 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 we want...
Stop, I ejaculated. Just tell the nice man what you're having.
I think we'll go for the healthy option, Ian. Maltesers in batter.
Twenty minutes later, they were flicking Maltesers across the living room while I busied myself planning their evening. I had to leave for the show in half an hour and I couldn't risk them roaming the streets on their own. What to do? What to... Aha. Bedtime, girls. Chop, chop. Now, I don't know what it is about women, but Suzette had spent two blissful nights in my company. Just the two, as my diary erotically attests. And yet the place was littered with nighties. French nighties, it has to be said. But a nightie's a nightie for a' that. Burns. So I made them cocoa, shooed them into their frillies and tucked them in. I pecked them good night, closed the bedroom door quietly, and prepared myself for the off. No sense in taking chances, I thought. So on my way out, and strictly as a precautionary measure, I hid their hats. The show went well. Enough of that. I was taking a 12th curtain call. A feat in itself, as there was no curtain. When a leading reviewer from Scotland's most influential daily stood up. "I have a confession to make," he said. "Some years back I wrote that this man, this veritable Adonis of a man with his husky voice and chiselled masculinity, was too sexually alluring to be a truly great comedian. Well, I'm here to tell you I was wrong. Ian," the voice at this point became tremulous and pleading, "I want to share your bed." Quite an admission. I was momentarily thrown, but my innate breeding and old-fashioned good manners came to the rescue. "It's a very kind offer," I said, "but the bed is full up already. Three women. French nighties. Doubt if I'll get in there myself tonight, frankly." Worse was to follow. I made the mistake of leaving the venue. He pounced. There were fisticuffs. 12 cameras clicked at once. Catastrophe. What if the story appeared on the front page of his salubrious daily? My aunts would be sure to spot it. All would be revealed. I was distraught. I paced the city, waiting for the first edition. The har was in from the sea. The night air was filled with casual obscenities. Minor Scottish novelists rushed around taking notes. I paced outside the offices of the city desk until, at last, the first edition was disgorged. I scoured the front page, but I needn't have worried. Queen Mother still dead. I began to relax a bit. Perhaps I'd been a tad jittery. The photographers, on mature reflection, had all been Japanese. Having said that, I needed a drink. Something a bit stronger than cocoa. So I dropped by the festival club. In the corner, fondling a Ricard, sensual, androgynous, louche, lounged Suzette. We'd make love later. But first, there was the small matter of the Hoover. I elbowed my way over. She was deep in conversation with... What the hell were my maiden aunts doing in berets? "In the looks department now, Suzette, we wouldn't have Sartre down as France's finest hour. But what a lover! Speaking of lovers, Suzette, here's yours. How are you, Ian? Mine's a perno. And by the way, we caught your show. You've certainly got something to work on. But for God's sake, drop the 3L ones, Ian. Sure, no one's like that in real life."
Ian McPherson was performing his own short story, Prune Surprise. The producer was David Jackson Young. And there's another short story from the Pleasance Cabaret Bar in Edinburgh tomorrow afternoon at 3:30.